Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and say your story, go to tawatson.com under the Program and Products tab and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Diana Patterson. Welcome to the show, Diana. How you doing?
I am fine. Thank you. I'm so honored to be with you, Dr. Watson. I've been excited and looking forward to this all week.
Well, I appreciate you, and I'm glad to hear that you and your family are doing well, considering the conditions down in Texas. And it's just an honor to have you here with me this morning as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, Diana, before we go on to our interview, tell the audience about any latest that's taking place with you and the work you're doing.
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot going on with me right now. I'm actually, I just recently became my Amazon number one bestselling author.
Woo! Congratulations.
I'm really excited about that. My book is called Everything Grows in the Valley, and the subtitle is A Story of Redemption and Learning to Embrace Life's Adversities. I am actually writing my second book right now called Love Grows in the Valley. I am also in the process of writing my second stage play. My first stage play was Everything Grows in the Valley, A Few Good Men, which sold out here at the MASH Theater, and we had to do an encore performance. My second play is called Ascension from the Valley. A Few Good Men was the men's story, and Ascension from the Valley is the women's story. And I'm also getting ready to do my first short film, so I'm excited about that. I'm kind of waiting on COVID, but if things go as planned, I hope to be launching my first short film project this summer, mid to late summer. And I'm also recently became, within the last 6 months, the executive producer for the Cam Hill Show, which I'm really excited about. That's just been an amazing experience, taking Cam to that next level. And we have some amazing, some goals for him, some ambitions that it seems like every one of them have come to fruition. So we're really excited. We're putting in a lot of work and we're seeing the work, the evidence of the work and the fruit of it. So I'm a child advocate. I'm a certified life coach and personal development consultant. Oh my gosh, I'm doing a lot. I'm probably wearing way more hats than I should. As a matter of fact, I just got my 501c3 DMT Life, where I'll be helping pretty much everybody, the homeless, single moms, families, children, the women of victims of domestic violence. We're gonna be working a little bit with Kathy Tatum with human trafficking. So we're gonna be doing a lot. So yeah, I got a lot going on.
So when do you sleep? Do you ever sleep at all?
I don't. Two or 3 hours if I'm lucky.
You are a busy lady, and thank you for the contributions that you're giving back to society and the difference that you're making as you're turning your point of adversity into advantage and really helping a lot of other people. So Diana, again, I appreciate you being on the show. So if people want to reach out to you and contact you, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Well, thanks to my daughter, who is the creative producer of the Cam Hill Show, all my tags now are DMP Life. So my website is dmplife.com, and you can reach me on Instagram and Facebook at DMP Life. And also, my Twitter is dmplife7, because somebody took DMP Life. I wasn't happy about that. So Twitter is dmplife7.
That is awesome. Thank God for our kids. And again, I appreciate you being here. So the purpose of our podcast is really to kind of give our listeners a chance to kind of really hear the stories of amazing people like yourselves and have you talk us through some of the challenging times you've been through to help us get some insights for us personally or other individuals we may know out there who may be dealing with some type of struggle. So My first question to you is, Diana, what's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally in your life?
You know, if I were to be honest, the biggest obstacle I've had to overcome is kind of the premise of my book, and that is not allowing the circumstances and the experiences of my life to become my self-perception and my truth of who I am instead of what I'm going through.
Yes.
Often when we face adversity, those circumstances make us feel low, unworthy, judged, you know, all those things. And I had to get out of my own way and realize that I was just a queen going through adversity, that I was still that same queen I was when I was on top. I was still that same woman. In fact, even more of a woman because of my resilience and the things that happened during that time. So I think it was really just getting out of my own way.
Yeah, and I thank you for sharing that. So tell us a little bit about some of the circumstances that you have that you had to endure in the valley. Because you talk a lot about the valley in your book, right? So what was the valley like for you?
Oh my gosh, there were so many. I literally started to feel like I had a target on my back. But I will say that they really started for me when I filed for divorce. It just seems like everything after that catapulted into losing everything, filing the bankruptcy, my home being foreclosed, all my vehicles being repossessed. I did manage to hold on to my business for quite some time. I owned a state licensed and nationally accredited preschool in Wisconsin for 26 years. And that was really a blessing because there were a lot of daycare centers and preschools that didn't survive. And I did well until after my divorce. A lot of things started to happen. It just seemed like it was kind of a domino effect. Mm-hmm. And I ended up losing everything. And I kind of ended up just throwing in the towel. I let go of my preschool and I moved to Atlanta, Georgia with my daughter with 32 cents in my pocket. After being someone that made six figures.
Wow.
I lived with my daughter for 3 months in Atlanta, got my own place, started over. I was in undergraduate school, getting my bachelor's degree at that time. And then I went on to graduate school, got my master's, I was in Atlanta for 2 years and moved here to Texas. But again, there was just one adversity after another. I mean, If you name it, I probably experienced it. It was just so many things that happened to me. After moving to Atlanta, my home, my apartment got burglarized. There were just so many things that I went through. And it got to a point where I really started to feel like God was doing something with me. I knew he was because it was just too much.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is I was journaling during that time. And I'm very introspective. So as I look back at my journals and I could see, and I remember what I was experiencing at the time that I went through it, but hindsight, seeing what God was doing with me, I started to really have more confidence in my journey and learning to embrace life's adversity, which again is the subtitle of my book.
Wow.
So it was a lot. I developed sciatica shortly after I got my first job in Atlanta, and I had only been in work for, I'd been at that position for 3 weeks, hadn't built up any time to be off work with pay. So I ended up having to pay my rent at the end of the month instead of the beginning because it was a whole 2.5 weeks that I didn't get a paycheck. And my rent with the late fees and everything on top of it kind of came, it superseded what I was bringing home every month.
Sure.
So my father was literally paying my internet so that I could stay in, you know, I was online. I was going to school in Wisconsin, and when I moved, I stayed in the online program. And I needed my internet. My dad was helping feed me because I wasn't making enough to eat. I mean, when I tell you I went from someone that literally, I mean, received a governor's commendation for excellence in Black business to nothing, bankruptcy, no money, bad credit. I mean, I went through it all. But it was so one thing after another, but I pushed through it.
That is so powerful. And I really thank you for being transparent and honest about sharing your story as well. So, you know, we hear a lot about people who have gone through divorces. You lost it all. You went from six figures to having 32 cents in your pocket moving to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about some of the feelings and emotions you were dealing with as you were making that transition to Atlanta with 32 cents in your pocket, in your pockets. What were your emotions and what were your feelings?
I talk about it in the book. The day that I left Wisconsin and boarded the plane, I almost fainted at the airport.
Wow.
From exhaustion and from, I think, just brokenness. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done because my youngest daughter, my other daughters were all adults, but my youngest daughter was a junior in high school. And I felt that that was such a critical time for her to have both her parents, not just her dad, but me. And she did stay in Wisconsin with her father, but leaving her and being away from her, that was really hard for me. Honestly, you know, I felt like I was nothing. And God blessed me with the most amazing daughters. And my daughter that I lived with in Atlanta at that time literally pulled me back into the light. She saw my gifts. She knew the type of woman I was. She knew my strength and my resilience. So she would not let me give up. And she literally birthed me back to life. Wow. I was in such a deep depression when I got there that I slept for about 3 or 4 days straight. It was hard. Like looking back now, like I can hardly talk about that experience without tearing up because being in it, you don't see tomorrow. And there were literally times where I was suicidal in Atlanta, but I leaned on my faith. I just knew that God would never allow me to go through that type of adversity without having some higher meaning in my life. And I just trusted him in his word and I leaned in my faith. And I'm so glad I did because one of the things I saw was when I had my preschool, I was only leaning on the 10th of my talent. Yes. God gave me all these gifts and I was just sitting on them. And being pushed into that circumstance forced me to tap into my other resources. And that is really what evolved all these amazing things that I'm doing now because when you're back to that corner like that and it's just you and God, you have to look internally. Right. You have to look at yourself and say, how can I rise above this? What can I do? And you start to really lean into those other gifts that have been dormant.
Wow, that's powerful. And again, I can't thank you enough for sharing that and being transparent. You're going to bless a lot of our listeners out there with them hearing your story, Diana. You know, so I've talked to a lot of podcast guests here on my show, and I asked them a lot about people who've kind of encouraged them during their toughest moments. Oftentimes, there were people who were older than them. There were some parents. There were others. You said your daughter. That's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. What words of advice did your daughter give you during that darkest period of your life?
She just reminded me who I was, all four of them. I have four daughters, and they really spoke light into me. They just reminded me of who they saw in me, who I was as a queen, as their mom, as this strong, confident woman. And I remember, you know, they had those courageous conversations. I remember one time my oldest daughter said, Mom, what happened? You used to be so confident. I don't see that woman anymore. And my daughter that I moved to Atlanta with just really wanted me. She encouraged me to start journaling because she knew I loved to write. So she kind of pushed some of those gifts out of me that she knew were there. But just speaking life and just never allowing me to see myself any less than who I am. And then there were a lot of little things that I'll say, when I say universe, I mean God using the universe, that the universe did to remind me, even in those moments of brokenness and not feeling good about myself and feeling like I wasn't worth anything, God used all these situations. People, everywhere I went, and this is during a time where I had nothing, people were amazed with me. I share some of those experiences in the book. I have a chapter called It Factor, that it's like God never let me see myself less than who I was. I was in Target one time, and this lady, I was there, literally had about $8, and I was like, how can I stretch this $8 to eat for the next 3 or 4 days? I was standing in the store, I forgot which section I was in, and she came
$8,
$8. And she said, you know, I saw her staring at me. She kept walking past and I was laughing because I was like, I think she thinks she knows me. So I was waiting for her to approach me. And she said, you know what? She said, I am not crazy. I promise you. She said, but I just wanted to come and ask you, who are you? Wow. And I said, who am I? And she said, yeah. She said, you just exude beauty and confidence and grace. And it just blew me away because that was a day that God nurtured me because I felt so broken that day because here I was in the store trying to stretch $8 to eat for the next 4 or 5 days. And this woman spoke life into me. Wow. And I had several situations like that where God constantly used people and circumstances to remind me that you have this gift and others see it, but I need you to see it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if they see it. I need you to see those gifts. I need you to be confident. I need you to believe in yourself. So it was not even just my daughters. It was everything around me. God used every circumstance to rebuild me during that time.
That is beautiful, man. It's amazing how he works in some of our darkest moments. So in your darkest moment, though, what kept you fighting? What kept you going? What kept you from quitting and giving up and checking out? What kept you going, though?
My wives, which are my daughters. My daughters. I mean, and I'll admit, you know, it's in my book, so I can tell you there was one night I literally was going to, I was going to take my life. It was everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And it was just a really bad time for me. And I had some pills on my nightstand that night. And, you know, there's times when if we really listen and look at our lives and look at what God's doing, we see him. And I was staring at the bottle, just thinking and contemplating. And I don't know if I would have actually done it, but I know in that moment I felt like I would have. Yeah. And the phone rang.
Wow.
And it was my youngest daughter. And this is crazy. She called and said, "Mommy, I just called to tell you I was thinking about you. And I just wanted to tell you, I'm so proud of you."
Wow.
She said, "No matter what happens, Mom, you always bounce back. You fight. And you teach us to do the same. We're strong because of you."
Yes.
And it's just, she didn't know what I was going through. But it's almost as though God nudged her and said, "Your mom needs a call right now. She needs you." Mm-hmm. And told her exactly what to say to me to speak life. And I'm telling you, I never struggled with that again after that.
Wow.
Never. Yeah.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. It sounds like your daughters are absolutely phenomenal individuals as well.
Yeah.
So, Diana, as you look back, how do you think these episodes in your life kind of shaped you as a person? How did they change you as a person?
They allowed me to see me. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we're doing life instead of living it.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
And even though I made six figures and I was doing a lot in Wisconsin, you know, very well respected in the community, all that, but I was so broken.
Yes.
I was really just existing through my life.
Yes.
And what it really taught me was to see myself and to be present in my own life.
That's right.
Because a lot of times we're just pushing through. We're making it, but we're not present. And when I tell you my level of presence is, and it grows more with each experience. I'm so present in my life now. I see, taste, smell, everything.
That's right.
And it's such a gift because God really, and I know that this is not our home. This is our assignment. And I really take that very seriously. I want to do the work. I want to serve. I want to lead with love. And it just really helped me to see things about myself that those childhood experiences, those things that happened to me that fed those negative messages to me, they all went away.
Yes.
Because I really, really began to allow God to speak to me. And then I spoke to myself and I spoke life to myself because it doesn't really matter what other people say. You have to believe it within yourself.
So true, so true. And it all starts with us from inside and then goes outside as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so as you look at your journey going from, you know, arriving to Atlanta with 32 cents in your pocket to where you are today, would you do anything different?
You know, I wouldn't.
Mm.
I absolutely wouldn't. And I can tell you that one of my life lessons is everything.
Right.
And you hear it all the time. It's cliche, but it's true. Happens for a reason.
Right.
There is purpose in our pain. And I know that the woman that I am today is because of those experiences.
Right.
So I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change anything.
That's
not
right.
One thing.
And to all my podcast guests out there, I want you guys who have been following my podcast, I want you guys to get a hold of this. I've asked every one of my podcast guests if they do anything differently. All of them said no. They embraced the journey and they knew and understood that it's the journey that makes them more resilient. So mm-hmm. Diana, we're coming off a tough year for a lot of folks. 2020, a lot of folks have lost possessions, family members, finances, you name it. They lost confidence. What advice would you give those folks to hold on, to let them know that a brighter day is coming?
Trust the process.
Uh-huh.
Trust the process. You know, God is not an author of confusion. He has purpose in everything he does. Everything he allows has purpose. we don't have to understand it. We just have to trust it.
That's right.
And so there's always, you know, and I don't like, you know, sometimes people say, well, there's always someone doing worse. I don't really like to take that perspective.
Absolutely.
I really like to keep that lens on me and my life and what has meaning in my life. But just know that you can push through it and to never give up, no matter what. Don't give up. Because, and the you know, there's the two examples I, well, the one or two I like to use is Tyler Perry is the main one. And I always say this to people, you know, because I'm a life coach and I say this to my clients. I say, you know, if Tyler Perry in that moment, and I get emotional just thinking about it, when he was in that car, living out of his car, broken, no money, no food, hungry, he tried plays, he didn't succeed, felt like a failure, felt like nobody loved him, felt like he had no support. If in that moment he gave up, look what would have been lost.
That's right.
He couldn't see it.
That's right.
In that moment, there's probably nobody on this planet. If someone had approached him and told him, this is where you're going to be 10, 15 years, he probably would never have subscribed to it. But thank God he never gave up. He leaned in that faith. And that's why you never give up. You don't know what God is doing, but you just got to trust what he's doing.
That's right. Well, hey, folks out there, if you're not fired up after listening to Dinah Patterson, I don't know what's going on, but she is phenomenal. If you're looking for a life coach, a speaker, get her books, get out there and support her. I mean, you're talking about a phenomenal person. No better coach to have than someone who's been there, done that. So I love it. Again, Dinah, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
They can reach me at dnplife.com. They can message me on my Facebook page. I do have a Facebook page, author Dinah Patterson, and that is DNP Life. So that's at dnplife.com on Facebook or DNP Life on Instagram. Also, I'm very open to giving my number because that's how I do business, and that number is 832-235-0572.
That is awesome. You know, a confident woman, even willing to give out her telephone number.
Yes.
Podcast. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, Dinah, we talked about some of the tough stuff. Are you ready to have some fun now?
Yes, I'm ready to have some fun.
All right, here we go. So this portion of the podcast is called our rapid fire portion. I'm going to shoot to you a bunch of questions about purpose.
Uh-oh.
I want you to give your best answer to me in the audience. I will not elaborate on any of the questions.
Okay.
I'll give it to you and just give us your best answer, all right?
Okay.
So Dinah, tell us, give us an example of how you turn a dream into reality.
An example of how to turn a dream into reality.
How you have, yep.
How I have. Consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency.
What gives your life meaning?
Everything.
Such as?
Everything. My daughters, my grandchildren, everything, life in general, like just everything, God's creation, because that's where I get a lot of my, believe it or not, a lot of my inspiration comes from creation. So everything.
If money wasn't an issue, what would you do with your time?
Ooh, travel everywhere. I'd be real global.
What word best describes you?
Resilient.
Love it. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Oh my goodness. That's a loaded question, but okay. just as simple, it sounds simple, but love.
Love it.
Just us really learning to love one another, truly.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Imagine,
okay.
Imagine, yeah. Yeah.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Oh my gosh. right.
Right, there you go.
Right, yeah.
What is your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Anchor for a major news broadcast.
Really?
Yes, I wanted to be a news anchor.
Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. If you could teach someone something, what would you teach?
Love yourself first. Mm-hmm.
Who inspires you the most?
God.
God. Great answer. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
When I was 12 years old, I played on the all-boys football team.
Really?
I was the only girl in the league, and I was MVP and fastest runner in the league.
Really?
I played nose guard, middle linebacker, straight-up tomboy.
Oh, wow. And University of Wisconsin could have probably used you. They should probably get you a show. That is awesome. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Travel. Taking as much jazz as possible because I love jazz concerts and I've been in this house. Spend more time with my daughters traveling because we haven't been able to do a lot together.
Sure, that's good. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
No matter what? Writing.
Writing, okay.
That's my passion.
Yes. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
That they felt good in my presence.
If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Superpower. I wasn't ready for that one. Let me see. Superpower would be, oh my gosh, that's a good one. I think the ability to see the future.
Okay. Love it. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you love to learn about?
I love to learn about, how can I put it into words? Anything that helps us to learn to live at a higher frequency. I'm really into, how can I say it? You know, anything that teaches us to just live life to its fullest.
I love it.
That's it.
What sparks your creativity?
Everything. I draw inspiration from everything. It could be the littlest thing, it could be the largest thing, everything.
Awesome.
But music is a big piece of it.
Okay.
Because I love jazz.
Awesome. Me as well, so we got that in common. That's good. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
We would take care of the everyone that's suffering and living in poverty, living in disenfranchised populations. We're going to take care of them first. The homeless, I'll say the homeless first and then them.
Awesome. I love it.
I would mandate that we take care of our homeless.
I love it. Great. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Oh, boy. normally, I would say Michelle Obama, but honestly, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I would like to follow a homeless person around for the day.
Yes.
I would really like to know their story.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. What do you love to do for others?
As much as I can, but extend love and give what I can, whatever it is, just give.
Good. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Love.
What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
That I'm God's gift to this world.
Love it. What's the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Dance.
Dance?
Dance.
Okay, I love it. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
When I played Mama in Raisin in the Sun.
Really? Okay.
And got a roaring standing ovation and a Best Actress award when I was 15.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome. One of my favorite plays out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does success look like for you?
Happiness.
If I were to speak to the people who know you best, what would they say your purpose is in life?
Helping others.
Okay. What are you most grateful for?
my family.
What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
That everything that we want to do and desire to do in life, the resources are within us.
That's right. I love it. Last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Ooh, you just hit me with a boom.
That's one for last.
How do I want to be remembered?
In history, yes.
History. Oh, Jesus. Honestly, I want to open up a preschool of the arts.
Mm.
I want to have an arts program for children in marginalized communities that really excavates greatness from them. And that pulls those gifts, yeah. So I want to be known to have these art schools all over the place.
I love it. Dinah Patterson, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Great job.
Thank you.
Again, folks out there, if you're looking for a speaker, coach, author, you gotta tap in Dinah Patterson. Amazing story, amazing person. You gotta support her. Again, Dinah, if people want to get in contact with you one more time, what's the best way to do it?
My website is dnplife.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at dnplife. Twitter is dnplife7, but I'm never on Twitter, so don't bother. And I have several emails, so just go to the website. And again, I'll give out my number, especially if you're looking for life coaching. That number is 832-235-0572.
Man, awesome job today, Dinah Patterson. Thank you very much for joining us. Folks, reach out to her. If you're someone out there, you have a story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. Let us know about it. Go to tawatson.com. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, review it, share with your folks on social media. And again, once again, everyone, we thank you for being with us today. God bless, peace, and deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.